But when we look at the love of Jesus Christ, we look and wonder that these words, I just want to ask that you'd really concentrate and focus on what they say. Christ was all anguish that I might be all joy. Cast off that I might be brought in. Trodden down as an enemy that I might be welcomed as a friend. Surrendered to hell's worst that I might attain heaven's best. Stripped that I might be clothed, wounded that I might be healed. Athirst that I might drink. Tormented that I might be comforted. Made a shame that I might inherit glory. Entered darkness that I might have eternal life. My Savior wept that all tears might be wiped from my eyes. Groaned that I might have endless song. Endured all pain that I may have unfading health. Bore a thorny crown that I might a glory diadem. Bowed his head that I might uplift mine. Experienced reproach that I might receive welcome. Closed his eyes in death that I might gaze on unclouded brightness. Expired that I might forever live. O Father, who spared not thine only Son, that you might spare me. All this transfer thy love designed and accomplished. Help me to adore thee by lips and life. Oh, that every breath might be ecstatic praise, my every step buoyant with delight, as I see my enemies crushed, Satan baffled, defeated and destroyed, sin buried in the ocean of reconciling blood, hell's gates closed, heaven's portals open. Go forth, O conquering God, and show me the cross, mighty to subdue, comfort, and save. What Jesus did so that we could experience is so great we haven't even began to tap into it, even if we've been serving Jesus for many years. We can't grasp the greatness of the love that He has for each and every one of us. And we've been on our questions for Jesus here. I'm going to kind of veer off a little bit, but I do want to start with Ephesians again. And last week we talked about we are unable to give love or receive love until we know how much we're loved by God. And true love is only defined by God, the source of all love. And we're going to be unable to give that, to receive that. We put walls up. We talked about that and focused on that last week. And so I want to once again jump into the book of Ephesians. And I want to read that first part there in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, therefore, in verse 1, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He says, therefore be imitators as beloved. And that word in the Greek, as we looked at last week, means His favorite. He shows favor upon us. And we talked about how God, and it has the sense in the word of worthiness. And we're not talking about worthiness in and of ourselves to receive God's love. We're talking about the worthiness that comes to us through the work of Jesus on the cross. We're talking about the favor that comes to us because of what Jesus did. And this morning, I want to focus a little bit on the qualities of that love, and I feel like we just need to dive in a little deeper about that love that God has for us, because when we grasp the full magnitude of it, we'll be able to love others so much more. What does Jesus say how people will know that we're His followers? If we have love for one another. And we're not... Our goal as a church body, as believers in Jesus Christ, is to be able to be aware of when people are going through difficulties and, and live that life of love. And I want to talk about the quality of true love. And then next week when the young people are back, and since this series has been geared towards them, they had come up with these questions. But I want to talk about how love is a sacrifice for other people's benefit. It has others' best interest in mind. And I gotta be honest. I try to love people, but I fail in so many ways. Simply because I get so busy with life, or I'm consumed with maybe some of my own problems. Anybody in here have problems? And so much so that we forget. You know, I was thinking the other night, I was so blessed to be able to go to Perry Hall's mother's memorial service, and my heart was just so blessed and tickled to see youth pastor Rob Anastasio there, who could have, his wife is off celebrating a wedding, and he could have stayed home and watched the football game, but he was there for the love of his team member, his worship team member, for his church, his brother in Jesus Christ. And that kind of love just really struck my heart. And I want to be able to give more love. I want to be able to give more kindness out to people that are around me. But the only way to do that is to focus deeper and further on what that we just read in this Puritan prayer. The depths of Christ's love. That I am His favorite because of Jesus, not because of anything I've done in and of myself. And He says in the Word here that He gave Himself up for us. He didn't come for Himself. He didn't come to bring attention on Him. He brought attention on our need for Him as our Savior. And we think about that. He came to give. And I want to ask you, just to ask a question in your own heart, as we show love to our spouses, to our family members, to our friends, to our neighbors, is it rooted and grounded in that kind of depth of love? Or do I often overlook the needs of my brothers and sisters around me because I'm so fixated on my own problems? I'm so fixated on the busyness of life. And certainly, you know, as I was thinking this morning, we all have different kinds of lifestyles. Some of us have children. We have kids that are busy in school, and there's all kinds of activities going on. Some of us are going through difficult circumstances in our life. So I ask myself, well, what is the balance for love? When we see our brothers and sisters in need, I think we need to ask Jesus Christ that. We need to ask Jesus, what was the balance of love when you were hanging on the cross with the nails in your hand, with the crown of thorns on your head? What was the balance of love when you were in the garden praying and your disciples fell asleep and you were in tears and in agony because you knew what you had to do? You had to obey the Father. But what is the balance of love that you still went to the cross and said, "Not my will, but yours be done"? If we ground our hearts, our souls, in the fact that Jesus Christ in agony says, "Not my will, but yours be done," then love will begin to flow out of my life more. It's not that I try harder to love. It's not that I feel bad, "Oh no, I messed it up this last week," or "I didn't show enough love to my brothers and sisters." But the more I focus on the fact that I'm a dearly loved child of God and what He went through on the cross, love will begin to form in my life. You see, a cross-centered life, a Jesus-centered life produces love. It ought to produce love. It's sad to look on, and I remember growing up in the church, and sometimes some of the people that have served Jesus, or they claim to serve Jesus, you know, that were been in the church for 100 years, and it seems like they have less love than anybody else has ever had. You know, it's everybody's out for themselves and they're, why did they sit over there? And why did this do that? And why did this do that? And why is the table over here? And why are they singing louder than everybody? Why is the guitar too loud? And why is this and that? And then it creates this environment of judgment and hate. Shouldn't it be the more I spend time with Jesus, the more humble that I would be, the more meek I would be, the more loving I would be towards others? And I got to be honest too, when we pour into people's lives and people slap us in the face for it, or they give us something bad in return because after we've sacrificed, or they say a rude comment to us, we are tempted to get hard and not continue to love. I know mothers get tired of changing diapers, and fathers too. I know all of you know the history. That when Tanya and I, we haven't had children yet, but I struck a deal with her before the ladies in the church corrupted her that I will not change diapers. And you all exposed her to the truth. And so if that day ever comes, I guess I'll have to change diapers. But imagine a mother who would get tired of doing that and just give up and no longer love her child. We would say, that's just wrong. I just can't stand that. I can't understand why a mother would do that. But now let's transfer the same things when we deal with one another's messes in our lives. That we would be able to continue to love and not get hardened when people slap us or turn down our love. Now, the key to this is that we're not able to do that unless we realize that we're dearly loved. If we're insecure that God doesn't love us, we're going to try to do things for others to get love back for them. And if they don't return it back, we become hardened and bitter and we put up walls. But if we stay grounded in the fact that God favors us, that He loves us, we'll continue to dish out more and more and more and more love. The sacrifices for others. He says he gave himself for us as a fragrant offering to God. And I want to veer off a little bit today and because I'm thinking of my dear brother. I can't even fathom or imagine what the family is dealing with and going through right now. And a number of us are going through different trials of our own and work things and difficulties. But when we come to this love, I want to invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want to talk to you about the comfort of this love. And just read the scripture for us this morning. I know this is not a regular sermon, but I just sense this, the Spirit was veering us into a different direction here today. It makes me feel uncomfortable. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy," just for Paul, "and the God of all comfort, who comforts some of us in all of our affliction, so that some of us will be able to comfort those who are in affliction." How come nobody has stopped me from reading and adding heretical things into the Word of God this morning? Did you notice that scripture, what it says? He says, the Father of mercies, plural. And mercy is God seeing us in our affliction. It's different than grace. As mercy is God seeing us in the distress and our affliction of living in a sinful world. And He wants to bring relief to that struggle, to that pain. He says He's the God of all comfort and all mercies and of all comfort that you can possibly imagine. Now, as Americans, sometimes we major on comfort, don't we, on the external side of things. When we go to the hotel and we're going to pay money for that hotel, we expect that bed to be a pillow top and comfortable. We don't expect the springs to poke up into our back. We expect when we go and pay for at the steak at the steakhouse that it's going to be cooked right. We expect that when we look at our glasses, there's not going to be a noodle in the bottom of it, like I found at the restaurant the other night I went to. You know, we have those things, and we get uncomfortable when those things are out of line and that. And we like comforts, but what is God talking about here? He's talking about a deeper comfort. He's talking about a comfort that soothes the inside of our souls. In fact, in John chapter 16, Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you without a helper, or that word helper means comforter or paraclete as it's in the Greek, and it means someone that comes alongside of you and helps you through whatever you're going through. Folks, I want you to know today and remind you, whatever we're going through, the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to ask Pastor Michael to come. If Michael's going through a hard time in life, it wouldn't be that I would just come and say, how's it going? And he tells me his troubles, and I'll say, I'll pray for you. But what if Michael needs somebody to say, you know, why don't you just come over to our house right now? And come on. Whatever you're going to do, oh, you have to work out in your woodshed. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to help you and just be with you, even if I'm just going to stand and talk to you because you're going through a rough time. So I'm going to be alongside of you. I once heard of a church that when a visitor walks in the door, as soon as they walk in the door, you know, a lot of times people are afraid. Some people might be turned off by this, but there are people that are really open and looking for love. They come in and they say, hey, I'm going to sit with you through the service. You don't have to sit on the other side and stare and wonder if anybody's looking at you. I'm going to be with you. Here's a Bible. I'm going to help you find the Bible passage. I'm not leaving your side. He's going to say, oh boy, I got to move out of this house as soon as I possibly can. But you know, it's nice just to know that someone is there. Someone who's by our side. He says the paraclete, the comforter, is not going to leave our side. He's going to come alongside and he's going to give us the comfort and love all the way through the process. What our brother is going through and what all of us are going through with our jobs, he's right there and he said, I'm going to get you through this. It may not be the results that you like or want, but I'm here to give glory to God. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring glory to Himself. He only gives glory to God. But He walks alongside of us. Isn't that great news? He says, the God of all comfort. And it's not just some statement that's a pie in the sky, because Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to give you a person, and that is the Holy Spirit, who's going to walk alongside of you, who comforts us in all of our affliction. We're humans, right? Someone is going through a trouble in their life. Someone could be sick. Or someone could have a father or mother that's dealing with Alzheimer's or something like that. Something I might not know a lot about. I haven't experienced that. What is my tendency as a human? I want to show them love, but I'm afraid to because I'm unfamiliar. I'm scared. And so we tend to back off from people that are in affliction. Holy Spirit never backs off from us. And if we root ourselves in the love of Jesus Christ, the more we realize the Holy Spirit is with us, the more that we're going to be brave and walk into a situation that we're uncomfortable with. I know that you're struggling. And it could be somebody that is dealing with the consequences of their sin. They sinned, they made a mistake, but we have a tendency, we just want to say, I'm just going to stay away from them. I don't want to get what they got. But if they're repentant and they're working through that in their heart, that we would say, Holy Spirit, I know you're alongside of them. I'm going to come alongside of them and help them work through this process. I'm going to help change their diaper. I'm going to help them work through their difficult situation. If the Holy Spirit does that for us, we can certainly do it for one another. He comforts those that are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. It's not just a one-way street here. Here we go again. He says, we're comforted by God so we can give comfort to others. We're loved by God so we can give love to others. It is a secure position in Jesus Christ. It is a constant position of having the Spirit alongside of us. It is a constant flow of love that Jesus gives to us so that we can dispense of it to others. Think of Thanksgiving time or Christmas when we have those big family meals. I don't know why we do it, but a lot of times just because the food is there and we want to take advantage of it, we just stuff ourselves until we're in pain. And we're walking around like barely can go. Tanya says, let's go for a walk. And I don't know if I can go for a walk. We just went to the Chinese buffet last night. God pours out His love in our hearts. Is it stuck inside of us? Are we bloated with God's love? Or are we going to let it flow out to other people? And let's leave the food analogy now because that doesn't apply to this part. The idea was the pain. We're walking around in pain because we've experienced God's love, but we haven't given out. And that's when we become dry and dead Christians because we just held it all inside of us instead of giving it out to others. Don't be like that. Let the love of God flow out of your life. It says in verse 5, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we will share abundantly in comfort too. He says, yeah, you will have trials. You will have afflictions. You will deal with sin. You will deal with death. You will deal with disease. But if you're sharing in Christ's suffering, you get to share in the comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort. That's the heart of the Apostle Paul there. He says, you know, if I'm afflicted, the reason why I'm being afflicted is so that I can come and comfort you. That's the heart of love, you see. If I'm comforted, it's for you too, because I'm in a good mood, right? I'm going to share. When you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer, our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. So now he's sharing a personal thing that he experienced with persecution in Asia. It says, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Now that sounds like a pretty tough time. And I'm sure all of us have been there. I've been there this year. To be burdened beyond our own strength, that we even despair of life itself. As if this is too much, God. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Perhaps they were in a hairy situation. Maybe without food, without the proper clothing. Paul says he went without several times. But he says, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on your behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. He says, one, you have a comforter. You have mercies. All mercy, many mercies, all comfort. And why do we have affliction? He gives us the reason. So that we put our hope in God who raises the dead. That applies to every kind of suffering you can imagine, including death. Because this is not the end of things for the believer in Jesus Christ. We have hope. So I want to encourage you today. It always makes me uncomfortable to veer off the path, but I really want to beg you and ask you to go home today and meditate on the mercies of God and meditate on the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to leave your side. He is not going to leave. He comes alongside of us. And He gives us the hope of the resurrection from the dead. Father, Your Word is so true, it is so right, it is so lovely. And I would just ask today that You would please remove any of my own human words in the flesh and only let the truth of Your Holy Scriptures come out. Holy Spirit, we welcome You to be our comforter, to be our helper, to come alongside of us. And we ask, Holy Spirit, as Paul prayed, for a revelation of the love that God has for us. So we ask for the power of Your Spirit, God, to show us how wide, how high, how deep Your love is for us today. And Father, I just want to begin by asking that You would forgive me for my lack of awareness of others' needs. And really getting down to the root for my lack of awareness of the depth of Your sacrifice on the cross. And for my ignoring of how much You really love me. Lord, I ask that You'd forgive me. I ask that You'd forgive us. That You would come in and cleanse our hearts. And that You would begin to shape and form us within us, Lord, the attitude of servanthood and love, that we would live a lifestyle of putting others above ourselves. Show us how to comfort brothers and sisters that are going through various things that we're afraid of. Lord, I pray that You would give us the confidence that we need in Your love just to come alongside, to not have to fix it, to not have to change the circumstances, but just to be there. Lord, I pray that You give each of us permission to be able to do that with one another. Lord, we praise Your name. We exalt Your name for the power of Your love that's at work in our lives. It's Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I think there is one more song that we're going to sing, and I want to invite you, if you're here today, you have not received the love of God, Jesus Christ.